Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. We're back to talk about The Private Lives of Pippa Lee, a film about women by a woman, a female director, who also wrote it. And Winona, once again, is not the main character. And yeah, we don't get a lot of Winona, but she's at least in it right from the start. So that's something. We don't have to wait half an hour for her to show
True.
Up.
True.
And yeah, I guess the premise is it's basically a story of Pippa Lee's life. Mm-hmm. It sort of starts at the present, jumps back in time, tells you her whole life story up until now. And then, you know, her life kind of not exactly falls apart, but changes quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a midlife crisis story, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Like I guess it's midlife. Crisis.
Yeah, like her husband's not midlife, but she is.
Yes.
Because she's got an old husband who's at least probably 20 years older than her, maybe.
Yeah, and she's 20-something children.
Yes. And they've moved into a retirement home because I guess her husband needed to move into a retirement home. It was like a precautionary thing,
yeah.
I guess. Like, he's getting old, let's move into the retirement home.
Which I thought that was weird, but whatever.
Yeah, it was a little.
And she was never comfortable with it, but then they were just...
And he didn't seem to like it very much.
I wonder how many people have died here. It's like, well, why would you move somewhere like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and the way she talked about it was kind of like, oh, well, I've got lots of time on my hands now. Like, it almost... I don't know if she had a job. When we went through her entire life... Did it talk about her ever having a job?
No.
I don't really remember.
I don't think so.
So she was like a professional mom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she didn't have that job anymore because her children were grown up and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's part of why they moved to the retirement home. Like, they didn't need the house they had before because the children had moved out. I don't know. But she was definitely kind of too young. Like, she was supposed to be in her 40s, I think. And she... so. Too young to be moving into a retirement home.
Yeah.
But her husband was at least in his 60s. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the general. But there's a lot more specific stuff that happened throughout. You'd seen this before.
Yeah, but I didn't remember it at all. Like, nothing.
I think I did because I think I only just watched it last year because
right.
I did it for the Keanu Club podcast. And I picked it for that because Winona was in it. That
right,
was the only
fair,
reason.
Yeah. It came out in 2008, right?
2009?
2009,
it says. 2009,
okay.
On IMDb.
Yeah. I don't remember watching it, but I did watch it. Because I was like, okay, she's finally in something, but then...
Yeah. But then she was barely in it.
She was barely in it. And she was also whatever she was in it.
She was whatever?
She was just like not a very... good, like the character was poorly written.
Yeah She I don't know,
they
like,
just made like her like a one-dimensional like mess, like, and they kind of used her as a butt of a joke, you know, like
totally,
you know.
She was like, if her character in Girl Interrupted was taken apart and like just the most base like example of someone with a mental illness, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's obviously, Girl Interrupted, she's a lot more nuanced in,
right,
in this.
Exactly.
She's just like a caricature of someone with mental illness.
Right.
And you're right. Like, I do wonder if she was meant to be funny. She played it kind of, I don't know, like, what's happening to her is very sad, but I feel like because she plays it so big,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like it was meant to be funny.
Yeah, like that line where she says, like, you know, they're at the table and she's like, do bats really get into your hair? And then they all just kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, can't you in the her what, boyfriend or husband is just like, why, you know, why can't you say anything normal?
Right.
Just like, cool.
Well, yeah, she says that her boyfriend or husband. They never really establish who mm-hmm. he is to her, but let's just say husband because it seemed like everybody was married or something. I don't know. He was mean to her. Like, she was crying to Pippa, like, mm-hmm. oh, he's so mean to me or something like that. I don't know. And so she's, like, depressed. Maybe she's depressed for other reasons. Maybe clinically. Who knows? But she seems, like, super sensitive to everything. Like, she reacts really big to everything.
Yeah. And she's, like, crying at the restaurant. She's crying. Yeah, you know.
She's a very needy character in the movie. So, like, she's, I mean, yeah, definitely Pippa's the main character. So Winona is just.
Her character's name's Sandra.
There we go. She's Sandra.
Sandra.
Yeah, she's just like a character that's like a friend. So she just doesn't have as much going on for her.
Yeah.
But her like one big storyline is that she's secretly having an affair with Pippa's husband,
mm-hmm.
who's played by, is it?
Alan Arkin.
Arkin. I almost said Alan Alda.
Yeah, so I know. I always get those guys.
Alan Arkin, who played Winona's father in Edward Scissorhands.
That's right.
So now she's having an affair with him.
Twist.
Which is creepy. Yep. Which is exactly what we're talking about. Like, what's happening to Winona is that, like, she's with these older dudes. She's barely in these movies. She's always, like, not always the mistress, but, like, kind of.
Yeah.
That's what she was in. Was it The Informers? Like, the last movie we just talked about that I've already forgotten.
Yeah, I barely remember her in that still.
She was Billy Bob's mistress
right.
in that one. Like, and Billy Bob is presumably quite a bit older than her. I don't know. Maybe not as much as Alan Arkin is,
no, he's super old, that guy.
Yeah Like, but I mean the whole premise of that is that he is with these younger women
because
mm-hmm. he was with Monica Bellucci first and like somebody else that we never see, but like his second wife was Monica Bellucci.
Yes.
And then he marries Pippa, who is, oh, what's the actress that plays her? Blake Lively?
Blake Lively, yeah.
So he gets together with Blake Lively first.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I don't even know what the age difference is there. That was
huge. That's probably like a 60, 70 year age difference.
It was big.
That's
at
crazy.
Least 40 years difference. Yeah, I mean, wow. It was, Yeah. He's a, like, not a literary agent. He's like a publisher or something.
Yeah,
he's somebody. He says he wanted to be a writer, but it didn't work out.
Yeah,
he's like too critical of himself, so he had to publish other people. I don't know what Pippa, but she was a young woman.
She was young, and she was just like caught the attention of Alan Arka, obviously, because mm-hmm. she's just a young wild girl, and he just wanted to like
suck her spirit.
Literally.
He's like a vampire who keeps
and
finding
she was interested
women.
In her, him because she just wanted to be safe and like be sheltered and
yes
have an easy life,
which
much.
Is super the difference between the Blake Lively version of Pippa and the what's her name, Robin Wright Penn in this version of Pippa, that like she is very much a mom, taking care of everything, mm-hmm. taking care of him, taking care of the house,
very sensible,
taking care of
the
friends, feeding them, whatever. The friends at that dinner party at the beginning call her the adaptable enigma, and then she says, well, I don't really want to be an enigma, like in her like little voiceover,
right.
Like, I don't really want to be this thing that nobody knows anything about.
That's weird.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, but I guess she got together with him to be, yeah, like you say, comfortable, because when we see her whole life story, she has a mom who's hooked on speed
and kind of
probably has mental health issues.
Yeah, and from like birth has always been kind of shitty to Pippa.
Yeah, very picky about her, I think, as the
hands
only daughter.
And very, yeah, kind of.
Like, you have to look this way. Like,
you have to do this, you have to do that, yeah.
And I would say like an absent father, like, was he a priest?
Yeah.
It was almost unclear that he was even her father. He was just a guy who was there sometimes.
In the room. Yeah.
Like,
he wasn't even part of it.
Take care of them in any way. Like, it didn't seem like he took care of the mother, who was, Maria Bello? Is that a person?
Yeah. It's something like that. Yeah.
Is that a name?
Yeah.
I should look just at the IMDb. Again, we're in another like ensemble kind of movie. Yeah, Maria Bello. Yeah, but like the dad doesn't seem to help her in any way. She clearly is struggling.
Yep. Yeah, the dad's obviously not doing anything. Nothing.
I think he's in denial or something. Because then later when she moves, she runs away from home and moves in with her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And her aunt's partner is Julianne Moore, who is in this director's movies a lot.
Oh.
When I looked through her, like, she doesn't have that many movies. The director's name is Rebecca Miller.
Oh,
so,
yes.
But yeah, she's in other movies of hers. And so, yeah, she's barely in this movie, but she's the partner of her aunt. And yes. I don't really know what she is. Is she a writer? Is she a photographer?
She's a writer, but I think she's a photographer.
Yeah.
Because she goes, you know, she pretends to be sick one day and she basically convinces Blake Lively, young Pippa, to pose for photos for her with one of her friends or whatever. And these kind of scandalous photos.
Yeah, like with whips and handcuffs.
Yeah,
and
suggestive sexual photos.
Babyish thing. I don't know. Yeah.
I guess to reproduce and sell. I don't know.
Yeah, she said she was doing it to create the characters for her, like, book or something. But, yeah. But, yeah, when she runs away to there, the mom and the dad come to see her. And the mom, like, cries and says, why are you doing this to me? Why are you leaving me? And the dad just kind of sits there. And it's almost like he's just, like, in denial that there's anything wrong with the mom. And that there's any reason that Pippa would be running away.
Yeah, he offers nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, useless dad.
And then the aunt seemed good, but then as soon as that thing happened with the aunt's girlfriend, Pippa's narrator said, oh, and then that was, I got kicked out, basically, like, that I stopped living with my aunt. And it, I don't know if she said that she got kicked out, but it seemed like that aunt was done with her after that. And it's just like, that didn't seem like it was your fault. Like, I don't know if she's like jealous that the girlfriend wanted to take pictures of her.
Maybe, like, she would just like, you can't, this is not the place for you.
Yeah,
something.
Maybe. But who knows? But then it seemed like she wasn't, like, she never talked about the aunt again, so it's not like she still was supported by the aunt in any way.
Yeah, that's true.
As a young person.
So strange just because of that. Anyway.
So yeah, that's when she ends up with an old man instead to be safe or whatever.
Yep.
I feel like other terrible things happen. Oh yeah. And then because she's having an affair with him because he's married to Monica Bellucci.
Right.
And then for some weird reason, which I would have questioned, but I suppose she was young and also, like, I don't know, infatuated with him, but, like, he's like, she's agreed to divorce me or whatever, but we have to have dinner with her first. And I'd be like, why? And so I don't know. She seemed to just have dinner with them so that she could kill herself in front of them because she pulled out a gun, shot herself. So Pippa's life wasn't very good.
No.
There was a lot of bad things that happened to Pippa.
Yeah. She just had a bad mom and then kind of no lack of a father. And it led to some bad shit.
Mm-hmm. And some traumatizing shit. Like, certainly that moment, that dinner party thing would have been a traumatizing.
Oh, and then she's so, like, in Robin Wright, like, present day, she kind of discovers that she's been sleepwalking and doing some weird stuff when she's sleeping. Just, like, eating a lot of food, really.
Yeah, eating food and messing up the house. Yeah. And, but also driving.
Driving, oh, yeah.
That's
driving
the dangerous part.
To the corner store
where Keanu Reeves is working.
Who's, like...
He's something else, his character.
Yeah.
He's what? He's supposed to be 35. I think
he's a divorcee. And he's living with his parents.
Right. He's moved back in and he's, like, moved into this retirement village as well because his mom lives there. And he has a giant tattoo of Jesus on his chest.
That
takes up his entire chest. 66. So Robin Wright was born in 66, and I should know 64 is when Keanu was born, I'm going to say, because I think he's born the same year as Nicolas Cage. Yes, 64. So he's supposed to be playing, like, I don't know, 10 years younger than her or something, because when Robin Wright starts to kind of have a breakdown, mm-hmm. in part because of her sleepwalking, maybe because they've moved, her life, like her children. I mean, her son seems to like her, but her daughter definitely doesn't.
Right.
Her life has just changed a lot, and she seems to be having a bit of a slow breakdown. She calls it a quiet breakdown at some point in the movie. She climbs into Keanu's bedroom window and starts making out with him, and then his mom comes in, and his mom was like friends with her.
Yeah.
awkward scene. She's all like, "I'm just disappointed in you," type of thing. Like, which is such a bullshit thing to say to her.
Yeah.
But she says, "This man is 35 years old. And she doesn't say how old she is, but mm-hmm. she just kind of says, like, "You're whatever you are," type thing. And so I'm like, okay, she's supposed to be older, I guess.
I guess. But like, that's so weird.
She can't be that much older. She's got to be in her 40s.
2 years younger than him in real life.
In real life.
Wow.
Because he was probably in his mid-40s when this movie yeah. was made. But he's a young-looking fellow, so he could play 35. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Keanu.
Yeah. Anyway, the age thing is all over the place in this movie between the women and the men. But also, Keanu has a tattoo of Jesus on his chest.
Giant tattoo.
Very large.
Yeah. Because I guess he wanted to go into and become a
Jesuit priest.
Yeah.
but he was turned down.
He was turned down.
So the question is, did he get the tattoo before he was becoming like in the process of becoming this Jesuit priest, or after he was turned down? That is the big question I have. Chris wants to know why Cornel West was in this movie. So Cornel West was only in at the dinner party at the beginning, and I really thought he was going to be playing himself, but he was not. Though I don't know that they ever referred to him by his character's name or clarified that he wasn't Cornel West. He was playing Don Sexton.
Oh, Don.
Just a guy. Like, they're all academics and
yeah,
writers,
course.
And
yeah.
It's just like these literary people hanging out at dinner, and he's just one of them. But I made a note about it. I was like, I thought Cornel West was going to be himself, but he wasn't. But yeah, Keanu. yeah. So at one point he says to her, they're in the back of his van. Oh, this is like jumping ahead. So Alan Arkin, when she finds out that Winona is having an affair with him because she's at a pottery class, because I guess she's trying to fill her time.
Right.
She clearly doesn't like it. She gets kind of belittled by the teacher. She's like, she refuses to like build up her pottery or something, like, stupid. And she goes, "Fuck you," mm-hmm. under her breath or something. And then the lady's like, "Ah," so she got kicked out of pottery class. She goes to see her husband at his office. He's having sex with Winona,
mm-hmm.
or not anymore. She's hiding in the bathroom. And then they have a fight and I guess go home. And then he like dies or like,
it was a stroke. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a stroke.
And then, yeah, he's like on life support.
Right.
And,
but then she runs off to see Keanu.
Right.
And then she's in the back of his van, or like, she doesn't run off. She's with her daughter and like comforting her. They kind of have like,
yeah,
nice reconciliation. Which I was glad for, because I like, that was true to me, that like daughter mother relationship, because mm-hmm. I know I was like a horrible bitch to my mom, and like, but it was nice that she like, and for who knows, like for not a lot of reasons other than I thought my mom like nitpicked my life a little mm-hmm. bit, and like that could have been basically
that reason,
what that yeah. relation, like,
of course,
it
yeah.
was never really clearly stated why she hated her, but she just said, "I'm so mean to you and I hate it." And it's like, yeah, you just have this relationship and you just act this way towards this person and you don't want to,
yeah.
but you just keep doing it.
Because it's learned behavior and you're just doing it.
Yeah. So anyway, she goes off with Keanu in his car because he comes over and is like, "You want to go for a drive? I heard about your husband." And then they're in the back of the van, and then he says, like, "What do you pray for?" Or something. "When you pray, what do you pray for?" And then I think she said, like, "Good things for my children," or whatever. And then he asks her to pray for her husband, and he takes off his shirt so they can pray.
Yeah, the shirt reveal for the praying. I was like, okay.
And it's like, but why? I guess because Jesus is right there. Like, I don't know. Like,
you gotta get Jesus out for this.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Whip out Jesus for this prayer. So weird. And then he, like, fingers her over her pants, or maybe he goes under her pants and we just don't
see
it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he goes in there.
Yeah, he goes in there. But, nicely, I commented on this when I did this for the Keanu Club podcast, but, like, he gets her off and then that's it. Like, there's nothing. He doesn't go, like, hey, my turn or anything.
No, it doesn't lead to anything else. Her. It's like, yeah, I'm going to help you out here.
And, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty... I enjoyed that. Also, just a kind of nice balance, counterbalance to the husband that just cheated on her. And like, in a very matter-of-fact way, says, like, oh, I'd hoped that the thing with Sandra or whatever was just an affair, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like, as if an affair was okay.
Yeah.
Like, affair would have been okay. At least I wasn't leaving you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am leaving you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real weird rationale there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. There's a funny line Keanu says. He says, I'm an asshole. I don't know why. I just always have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Honestly, of the Winona movies from the 2000s, this one's watchable.
Yeah.
And not terrible. Mm. Probably not something I would have watched willingly aside from doing podcast episodes about it.
No, for sure. This movie was made for, like, middle-aged white ladies, like,
totally,
pretty much,
absolutely.
It's really specific to that.
Super accurate.
But you know, it was fine.
It was fine. My analysis is it was fine.
It was fine. It's and just fine.
You're right. Winona didn't get to do that much. Trying to see if I have notes about Winona.
There's a scene where she, like, you know, it was post to her trying to cut her wrists, and she
another thing she did,
like a Bic razor, you know.
This is why I think she was a comedy thing, even though she was, like, constantly, like, trying to kill herself or something terrible was.
It was just like they kind of brushed over. And then she walks into the hospital room and they're all like, what are you here? She's like, oh, I thought, what was she doing?
I had chest pains.
Yeah. So
it's
like
supposed to be like
that. She's like a hypochondriac or something.
She's drama basically.
Yeah. Drama. So that's cool to, you know, frame a woman, the character around being dramatic. And
right.
A basket case.
Totally. You know? Yeah. So that's pretty much what she was. So it's too bad. Like, again, like, obviously, Girl Interrupted, not super to compare these two, but, like, that was a much better role for her, mm-hmm. and it's very sad that since then she's had things like this. Womp.
The private lives of Pippa Lee.
I have notes. So, Monica Bellucci, Keanu Reeves, and Winona were together in Dracula.
Whoa.
And now they're back. In this movie.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Good reunion.
Yeah, sure. It was an okay reunion. This movie was executive produced by Brad Pitt. Just a fact that I saw in the credits.
Apparently, Maggie Gyllenhaal was considered for the role of Suki, but dropped out due to scheduling. Who's Suki?
That was, what did I say her name
Monica
was? The mom. Not Monica Bellucci, the other name.
Oh, the mom.
What did I say her name?
Bello.
It's another MB.
Yeah.
Marie Bello.
Yeah.
Maria Bello. I should get this right. I'm on a different page on IMDb. Maria Bello. I was on the director's page because I looked up her movies and I'd seen one of them. First of all, she was an actress in things. She was in Regarding Henry with Harrison Ford. I don't know how much of a character she was. Her name was Linda. I'm not sure what character that was.
Linda.
But she did Maggie's Plan, which was from 2015. I saw it at TIFF, not the festival, but the place. Like the
light box, yes.
Yeah. It was Greta Gerwig and Julianne Moore and Ethan Hawke.
Oh.
Yeah.
The old Greta.
It wasn't bad. But she did something called Personal Velocity 3 Portraits.
Yeah, I've seen that movie cover. Like, I remember seeing that cover in like Blockbuster and never renting it.
Yeah. It's got Parker Posey, Fairuza Balk, and Kira Sedgwick.
Oh, wait, maybe I must have rented it.
Doesn't, yeah, I mean, right. I why would you that. Not? Yeah. You're what? Like, wait a second. I was like, I'm into it. Those people are in it. Like, if it's three mm-hmm. stories, I kind of wonder if each story is about one of them. But I don't know because I have not seen the movie. So, yeah, she hasn't directed that many movies. But the other repeats, she has another movie she did with Daniel Day-Lewis and Catherine Keener. The Ballad of Jack and Rose. And it has Ryan McDonald, who I think played the son of Pippa in this.
Okay, so she's like one of those, you know.
Repeat. Repeater. Yeah, she likes certain actors, yeah. I guess.
She's probably friends with them.
Maybe. She also repeats John Ventimiglia. He's in Sopranos. He's like the restaurant owner in The Sopranos. He's okay. in her first two movies. Anyway. Fascinating information, but I enjoyed reading up on that director.
Got some stuff.
I like Maggie's Plan.
Yeah, you liked Maggie's Plan? What's that?
And Kathleen Hanna playing a Quebecer.
Kathleen Hanna's in it. Hello.
I forgot about that.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. You should see it.
Marry the pickle guy. That's a great line.
That's what she said.
I don't want you to marry the pickle guy.
That's what the male love interest says. I can't remember who it is.
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawke says, I don't want you to marry the pickle guy.
Who's going to marry the pickle guy? Greta Gerwig?
Oh, no. She's going to have his baby.
Oh. I don't remember who the pickle guy was. You have a good memory. Right. I fully remember that I went and saw the movie, and that is about the most that I remember. Anyway,
sounds in the same vein, kind of middle brow for college educated adult.
Yeah, yeah, because Ethan Hawke is like some like academic. I don't know if he's her professor, like. Yeah. There's a conference.
Yeah, because I think the opening scene is in the New School in New York. They go to the New School. Or they work at the New School. He does. Yeah.
I can't remember if she's a student or also a teacher. She's obscure age.
A really good use of a special song, too. Anyway, when we do the Maggie's Plan episode.
Which doesn't have Winona in it.
Non-existent
After this, we'll do the Rebecca Miller podcast, which will have 5 episodes, because that's how many movies she has.
Did you notice the weird animated scene?
Yes! There was. I love how that perked up Chris. Like, yeah, what? Yes, I did. It was a part where...
It was the baton passing.
Right, because...
After she realized that the Winona was having an affair, she felt relieved, and she was just like...
Because she felt guilty for stealing him from his previous wife.
Yeah, so she was just passing on the baton to Winona, you know.
The guilt baton.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was animated. It was a relay race where one of them passed the baton to the other.
So you got to see an animated Winona.
Yeah.
So that was
which is another reason that I feel like, I mean, I guess this movie was kind of a comedy. How is it even, how do they rate it? Like on IMDb, like what category? Yeah, comedy drama.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yeah, there's weird moments like that where it's like, okay, this isn't, they are trying to make this not so serious. I don't know. I didn't mind it.
It was fine. It was just fine. But anyway, the next episode is,
but anyway,
it's going to be a bit more exciting, I think.
Oh yeah. What is it? Well, I think you're right.
Is it?
It's yeah.
Is it? Is it Star Trek?
It is. I think you're right. Space. It's Star Trek.
Yeah. Chris is saying yes.
I mean, yeah. More exciting in movie wise. Winona again is not in it very much.
Yes. True.
So
she's very
another challenge in trying to find things to say about Winona. I feel like I have a easier time saying things about Keanu just talked about. Even though I don't think he's not a main character, but he's maybe in it more than Winona. Interesting. I'm trying to see if I had any other notes about Winona from this before we No, I think the only thing I wrote down is that there's kind of a parallel between Pippa and Winona because they're both losing it, but in very different ways. But like you said, Pippa's written more
with depth.
Yeah, exactly. And Winona's not.
You don't know anything about her.
I think Winona could have played the Pippa role.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have had more to talk about. Come on, Winona.
Yeah.
Be in a movie and give us something to talk about.
Let's give them something to talk about.
This movie for a minute made me think of Forrest Gump only because
of Robin Wright.
Robin Wright is in it, but Jenna, also because it's like her as the, because like Forrest Gump goes back through like key moments.
I was waiting
in
for
his
the feather
life,
to come.
And it goes back through key moments in her life. So I don't know. It's not the same, but it just reminded me of it.
And then because of the last movie covered the topic of AIDS, I was like, you know, there's Jenny in this one. And I was like, is Jenny going to die of AIDS? So Jenny, Robin Wright, Jenny.
But why would she die of AIDS in this movie?
I don't know. It's just all very familiar. It's too close from the last episode.
Oh my gosh.
Forrest Gump.
I know all the movies are just blending together.
Yep.
I think at the end, we're just going to have to like do a mashup of all the movies and figure out how they work with all the Winona characters from each movie, like playing together, like a movie that's just made up of all her characters.
Oh my God.
Nobody else is in the movie except all her characters.
Like Malkovich.
Yeah. But like, they're all different people, right?
Right.
So they could be in a movie together.
Sure.
I don't know how, but we've got a few more episodes to figure it out. We're really nearing the end.
I mean,
we're only in 2009. We've got 10 years left to go, but I don't think there's that many movies.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, indeed. Well, but Star Trek next. We're going to have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And, Get a little more excited.
Yes.
Though not very Winona heavy, probably.
But until then.
Yeah.
Keep listening. Have a good evening. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know either. Good enough. Bye.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.